please remember that the Lucy Pod is not a replacement for professional medical advice. If you have questions or concerns about your own amazing brain, please speak to a medical professional. I'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which I speak to you all today, the peoples of the Kulin Nation. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Hello everyone and welcome back to the Lucy Pod. I hope that you are all well and are staying safe. If you listened to my latest episode, you will know that I am no longer drinking. I do not drink alcohol, and it's been that way for about 3-4 months, and I attribute this to my ADHD medication, Vyvanse, which is not only used to treat ADHD, but it's also, in some cases, used to treat addiction and binge eating disorder. So I'm thinking that me not wanting to drink is somewhat of a positive side effect that I get to benefit from, even though I don't have any of these conditions and I'm taking Vyvanse to treat my ADHD. It's shut something off in my brain, and now I no longer have the desire to drink or to really think about it. And I find this incredibly interesting. So today's episode is going to be about ADHD and alcohol. Before we really dive in, I do want to make it clear that this episode is not about sobriety in the context of alcohol, addiction. This podcast is not a podcast about addiction. So if that is something that you are interested in, this episode is probably not for you. This podcast in this episode is to talk about my experiences of being ADHD and not drinking and the impacts of alcohol on people who are ADHD. Now that we've made that clear, let's dive in. Let's talk about ADHD and alcohol. Grab a cup of tea, water, a soft drink, or any other non-alcoholic beverage and listen in. I think definitions are important when we're talking about this topic. So let's be clear in what we're talking about when we are talking about alcohol, ADHD, and addiction. So really quickly, ADHD, it's a chronic condition, and it manifests in symptoms of attention difficulty, hyperactivity, impulsiveness, and these tend to interfere with functioning. Next, alcohol or an alcoholic beverage. So an alcoholic beverage is a beverage containing alcohol, which is a psychoactive and toxic substance. Alcoholic drinks are typically divided into three classes. Number one, beers. Number two, wines. And number three, spirits. And typically, their alcohol content is between 3% and 50%. Then, alcohol addiction, aka alcohol use disorder. It is a chronic disease characterized by uncontrolled drinking and preoccupation with alcohol. Alcoholism is the inability to control drinking due to both a physical and emotional dependence on alcohol. Symptoms include repeated alcohol consumption despite related legal and health issues. So now that we've got those definitions out of the way, let's really, really dive in. Drinking is a huge part of Australian culture. Every country, region, and groups of people have their own drinking culture, and it varies. However, when we look at Australia, it's obvious, and you can see that there's a big drinking culture. We have a really big binge drinking culture as well. We like our beers, we like our wines, we have our beautiful wineries, we have pubs, we have hipster breweries, gorgeous wine bars. It is a huge part of our lives, and for many reasons. Alcohol tastes really nice. It's fun to go to fancy restaurants and bars and drink alcohol that can be paired with nice food. It can be paired with dancing and going out with your friends. There are many reasons why people drink, and I think the main reason is because alcohol tastes nice. And the effects of it, if you ignore the hangovers and the health impacts, the effects of it are really enjoyable. You lose your inhibitions, you're more relaxed, you feel more social, and some people's greatest stories and experiences and escapades have been when they are drinking. So we're not going to sit here and lie and sermonize people and say, you know, drinking alcohol is bad for you. There's no reason to do it. It's awful. It's gross. Because there is a reason why people do it. It's because it tastes good. It makes us feel nice. It's the same reason why some people do drugs, because the effects of drugs make people feel good. To me, drinking alcohol makes way more sense than smoking cigarettes, because cigarettes don't smell or taste good, and they don't actually have any sort of effect on you. They don't make you feel buzzed. They don't make you feel excited. They only feed that addiction, which makes you feel more relaxed, but there's actually nothing relaxing in the contents of a cigarette. So it makes sense why people drink. It tastes good and it feels good. Same thing why people love, you know, food and certain foods, because it tastes good and it makes you feel good. It's satiating. And people use it as a way to distress and relax. It's a big thing. And different people will say, no, I drink because of this. But I think the main reason is because it tastes good. People love their wine. People love going to wineries, you know, even when you just hear of people saying, oh, we had a beautiful wedding. We were at this vineyard. We had a wine tasting with cheese. That sounds absolutely delightful. And I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that it tastes awful. It's gross. Why would anyone drink it? That's crazy. That's being dishonest. Fun little fact on that, since we're all about being honest here, in 2019 to 2020, wine accounted for the largest proportion of apparent alcohol consumption, 42% of all available alcohol, followed by beer, 35%, and spirits, 21%. I find that interesting. Now, just because alcohol feels good and tastes good doesn't mean that it's good for you. We have to talk about that part. It has harmful effects, short-term and long-term, specifically on your physical and mental health. It can lead to addiction, depression, anxiety, other mental health issues. It can also lead to cancer and other serious and often deadly physical health conditions. It can also lead to car accidents and other dangerous situations, which can also lead to death. The majority of people in Australia aged 14 and older have consumed alcohol in their lifetime. The 2022 to 2023 National Drug Strategy Household Survey found that of the population aged 14 and over, over three quarters, so 77%, had consumed alcohol in the previous 12 months. 14.9% had never consumed a full serve of alcohol. And the proportion who consumed alcohol daily remained stable between 2019 and 2022 to 2023. The highest number and rate of ambulance attendances continues to be alcohol intoxication related. Monthly data are presented from January 2021 to March 2023 for people aged 15 years and over for New South Wales, Victoria, Queensland, Tasmania, ACT, and Northern Territory. Now, I could go on and on about the impacts, well, the negative impacts of alcohol and the way in which it is one of the leading causes for car accidents and whatnot, but I think we know that. We've done that enough. We've got the whole alcohol and how it's bad for you out of the way. But now I really want to get into how alcohol is really dangerous for people who are ADHD and people who are ADHD and who take medication and people who are ADHD and have comorbidities like anxiety, depression, and OCD, etc. ADHD is a risk factor for the development of substance use disorders, particularly if ADHD is untreated and people presenting with these disorders have increased risk of having ADHD. So there's the earlier alcohol use. A 2018 twin study found that more severe childhood ADHD was associated with earlier alcohol use, as well as frequent or heavy alcohol use. There's also the risk of more severe ADHD symptoms. Alcohol impairment can aggravate symptoms of ADHD, such as impulsiveness, difficulty focusing, in addition to long-term use is associated with difficulties with cognition, decision-making, memory, and speech, and these effects can worsen, like the symptoms of ADHD. Okay, but Lucy, like, how does it actually make your ADHD symptoms worse? How does it impact your cognition, your decision-making? What is the science behind it? Okay, even though alcohol is a depressant, so depresses your emotions, it's meant to depress them, make them slower, lessen them, it actually makes your ADHD symptoms worse. So it has the opposite effect. So when a person drinks alcohol, and in this case we'll say an ADHD person or even just a regular person, neurotypical person, it affects the frontal lobe, which is responsible for clear thinking and decision making. And individuals with ADHD may engage in impulsive behavior that can lead to harmful consequences, because when they consume alcohol, their frontal lobe is impacted, because a lot of ADHD impacts the frontal lobe. And then when you combine ADHD, when you combine alcohol with it, it's really, really deadly. It can be a deadly cocktail, no pun intended. It really affects your symptoms of inattentiveness and restlessness. And this makes it really difficult to focus on the tasks at hand, and it makes the afflicted easily distracted. It's believed that this impact is resultant of a less active frontal lobe of the brain. So scans have even shown a smaller prefrontal cortex in patients with ADHD. And like I said, this brain is, you know, responsible for our executive functions, such as thinking, problem solving, attention, memory, organization. And when you have alcohol, all of those things are impaired. That's really dangerous. When you lack, you know, when your executive functions are impaired from alcohol, a toxic substance, that's really dangerous, because then you do things that are dangerous. Your thinking is gone. Your problem solving is gone. You know, your street smartness, your book smartness kind of disappears in that moment, because you've impaired yourself, which we're going to get into. You know, this can be really problematic. And I could make a whole other episode about how, you know, alcohol increases or leads to depression and anxiety and other mental health issues. But like I said, this is about ADHD. And like we've just discovered, or like we've just discussed, the impacts of alcohol whilst you're ADHD, being ADHD, are not worth it. They're not worth it for a neurotypical, and they're not worth it for an ADHD brain. And look, all brains are very strong and capable things, and our bodies are pretty amazing. But over time, if you keep putting something in your body that is toxic and that is going to have negative effects, it's going to be problematic. And that's not to say that every one of you who drinks is going to have cirrhosis and die of cancer. I'm not trying to fearmonger, but you are impacting your health. And even if you have a healthy body, and even if you're not ADHD or whatever, it's still not great to drink. And couple it with having ADHD, as I keep saying, our brain is a lot more vulnerable. So even though our brain is great and there's nothing wrong with being ADHD, our brain is more vulnerable. It's more at risk in developing certain disorders, comorbidities, and alcohol really, really preys on that vulnerability. So it's really important to know that if you are an ADHD and you're drinking, you're not a bad person, you're not going to become brain dead or die or anything like that, but just know that your brain is not necessarily best placed for handling alcohol. It's super vulnerable. It's just something that you should maybe avoid. And while that may sound very patronizing and saying like, your brain's just bad, and that's why it's not that. It's just so important to know that, like, some people, it's just best for them not to engage in certain behaviors because it's not for them. It's like, I'm probably not best suited to do boxing. I just don't have the frame for it. I would be vulnerable in the ring. Someone would be able to knock me out like that. So you just got to view it like that. Your brain, it's just not made for the boxing ring of vodka and, you know, espresso martinis. It's probably best if you avoid it altogether. So now that I've said this, and we've covered that, I want to talk about sort of the examples or experiences of people who are ADHD and drinking and what that does to them. I am not a risk-taking ADHDer. That's not an element of ADHD that affects me personally. I'm quite a fearful and cautious person when it comes to risk-taking behaviors and activities. And that also falls into my alcohol use. I was not a big drinker. I enjoyed a drink. I was a person who would drink alcohol with, you know, some meals. I liked going out with my friends and drinking and going to nice restaurants. I was not sort of ADHDer who would binge drink, drink alone, or drink to forget. It was a very social thing for me. And some people might argue, well, that's really dangerous. Like, why do you need alcohol in social settings? I agree. But the point that I'm trying to make is that it was a very positive thing. It was done with friends. It was never kept secret. It's sort of like that European thing of, like, you know, you drink with certain meals, you pair it with nice, you know, you pair your meals with a nice wine, you drink with family, you drink for special occasions. In summer, you sit out on your porch with your family and you might have a nice spritz. It's a very, like, normal, it was a very normal activity for me that I didn't abuse. However, I did start to see how it affected me as an ADHDer. I'm someone who's a very high energy person. I don't drink alcohol to make me high energy, even though it's a depressant and, you know, it's meant to sort of slow you down. It can make people hyper. I don't need that. I'm already a really hyper person. And it's interesting, when I would drink, even though I would become a bit more social, it would make me feel very foggy and slow. And some of you might say, babe, that's like everyone. Everyone feels that way when they drink. Like, that's a very normal thing. But for me, it felt like this really hard fog. It felt like I was underwater in a spa with the bubbles going at like full speed, buzzing, and this really thick water. And I was trying to wade and swim through it. And it made me feel hot and slow. And I didn't like it. It made me feel foggy. And for someone who already deals with ADHD and has to deal with forgetfulness and with feeling foggy and feeling overstimulated, it would make me feel strange. And this started happening when I started taking my Vyvanse. Beforehand, that fogginess would still happen, but it was in the background. I didn't let it bother me. It was like, babe, that's just you feeling a little drunk, a little tipsy. But when I started Vyvanse, I started to notice it more and more, and it literally made me want to climb out of my skin, my body, and take a shower and scrub my skull and my face. I didn't like the way it made me feel. And then slowly, I just lost the appetite for it, and I just don't drink anymore. But I have a lot of ADHDers in my life and have known a lot of ADHDers in my life who engage in risk-taking behavior, a lot of drug-taking, which we're not going to get into, that's for another episode, but a lot with alcohol. I had friends, you know, when I was younger that would abuse alcohol, who were ADHD, who would abuse alcohol to the point where they would end up in predicaments that were really unsafe, not only for them, but just anybody and for the people around them, like getting so drunk because it seems like fun and a good idea, and YOLO, you're overseas in Mykonos, and ending up, you know, waking up in a place that you don't, you know how you got there, you don't know the people, or ending up, you know, in a car with your friends and a bunch of other people, you know, you don't know. And while some of you might be listening being like, that sounds like so Saltburn coded, like that sounds so fun. Like, imagine you're in Rome and you get wasted and you end up in someone's villa and you make friends with these rich people and they invite you to their castle. I mean, sure, like I said, most people's funnest stories and escapades have been while they are drinking. But if we're going to be mature and serious, that's pretty scary. And they would tell me these things and I would have my mouth open and I'd be pretty shocked. And I'm the sort of person where it's like, I don't care, like go on your drunk escapade, have fun, tell me your great stories. But it would actually scare me when it would escalate. It would be like, oh, you know, I got really drunk at this festival, but I had so much fun. I met these great people and I was with friends and I'm like, oh, good on you. And oh, you know, I met this cute guy and we made out. I'm like, awesome. Like, that sounds so much fun. And then it goes to like, and then I end up, you know, in the basement with, you know, someone and we didn't know how to get out. Ha ha ha. Like, so funny. And you're looking at them like, that's actually really concerning. Or another one where it was like, oh, I was in Europe and I, you know, got so wasted that I lost all my meds and I didn't have any meds for my whole trip, my ADHD meds. And then I mixed them and I double dosed for funsies and it would scare me. It would really scare me because, like I said, it's not good for your brain. You're already a vulnerable person because of your ADHD, and not say that you're broken or wrong, but you are vulnerable, and the alcohol exacerbates that vulnerability. It exacerbates those symptoms. And, you know, in the moment, they're all happy and chirpy about it. You know, you're drunk, you, the impulsiveness, the inhibitions are out the window, but then it would play on them long-term. They would tell me the story and it'd be all fun and games, but I could see how it impact them long-term. And then they would deal with issues of anxiety. And then it would become a thing of, oh, I drink and I mix my anxiety medications because now I've developed anxiety. And when you mix ADHD medications and anxiety and alcohol, it's problematic. It's not a good combination. And here's the thing with dealing with ADHD or other brain issues and brain conditions. Whilst there is no cure specifically for ADHD, it's chronic. You live with it. You are born with it. You are born with it. You live with it and you die with it. It's so important to minimize risk. So if you know that alcohol is something that can impact your ADHD and worsen it, then it's probably in your best interest to cut down on it or not have it at all. And it doesn't mean that, you know, you can't enjoy things and you should go stone cold sober, lock yourself up and all of that. But it's so important to minimize risk. Like, people who are anaphylactic, let's say with nuts, whilst this is a bit different, will minimize risk. They're not going to go to the Nutella factory. Why? Because, you know, it would be risky. It's a bad analogy, but like, they don't want to risk getting sick. It's about mitigating risk and making sure that you are making the best decisions for your brain. So I'm not here to tell you that if you're ADHD, you shouldn't drink and that if you do, you're a bad person and you're ruining your life. But it's so important to just know the risks before you start drinking or before you're going to have a big night out, because it might not be worth it for you. Now, I made it very clear that this is not an episode on sobriety and addiction. It's also important to recognize that a lot of ADHDers do struggle with addiction, specifically drugs and alcohol addiction. And if you are an ADHDer and you're listening to this and you feel like alcohol is negatively affecting you and you want to stop, or even if it's not affecting you, but you want to stop before that happens, before it kicks off and it develops into something else, I do want to talk about ADHD and addiction really briefly because it is important. It is a part of the conversation that we can't not talk about. Early screening is important to allow for early treatment to reduce the increased risk of morbidity and other negative health outcomes in people with ADHD and co-occurring substance use disorders. People with substance use disorders can be screened for ADHD using the 6-item adult ADHD rating scale, the Part A one. And people with ADHD can be screened for problematic drug and alcohol use using the DAST, which is the drug abuse screening test. Before we get into treatment, if a person screens positive for either, they should be provided with access to diagnostic assessment. And treatment for people with ADHD and substance use disorders should focus on both disorders concurrently. Should consider the interrelationship, and it should follow the guidelines for each disorders and the general guidelines about treatment of people with co-occurring disorders. In most cases of concurrent ADHD and substance use disorders, clinicians should start treatment aimed at abstaining from or reducing alcohol consumption or drug consumption, drug use. This might complicate diagnosis and treatment of ADHD. However, it's important that whoever you do go and see, dependent on where you are, that they're following those procedures. And I'm going to put some resources in the description. And all of the studies mentioned in this episode and stats will be put in the description. Before I get into more advice and the treatment element of it, I think it's also important to dispel some myths around alcohol addiction, specifically with ADHDers, and the idea of medication, ADHD medication, which I've said all of my episodes about ADHD medication, that it does not cause addiction. ADHD medication is not being abused by ADHDers so they can get drugs. They're not doing that. I need to make it clear. There's a lot of myths regarding ADHD and substance use disorders and stimulant medication. And one, apart from that one, is that the use of stimulant medication to treat ADHD causes or increases the risk of later developing substance use disorders. There is robust evidence that providing stimulant treatment for ADHD does not increase the risk of substance use disorders compared with people who are ADHD who do not access stimulant medication. Stimulant treatment in people with ADHD can result in many positive outcomes for those with co-occurring substance use disorders, including reduced substance use. Like I said, Vyvanse is used to treat substance addiction. The other positive outcomes from the use of stimulant medication in people with ADHD include a protective effect against mood disorders, suicidality, criminality, accidents and injuries, traumatic brain injuries, motor vehicle crashes, and improved educational outcomes. It's really important that myths about ADHD and stimulant use are addressed by clinicians through accurate education, because it causes stigma, which can really impact one's self-esteem and self-worth, specifically with ADHDers. There's also statewide regulations regarding the prescription of controlled drugs, which include stimulants, which sometimes preclude ADHDers who have a substance use disorder to access stimulants, but that's a whole other topic for another episode, which it will be an episode. So now that we've got those myths out of the way, I want to say that if you feel like you might be struggling with alcohol addiction or you want to stop before it gets that way, as I said earlier, and you're not sure where to start or what to do, there's two ways that you can approach it, in my opinion, remembering that I'm not a doctor, I'm not an expert. If you are someone who doesn't have an addiction like me and who just isn't interested in drinking anymore, my first piece of advice would be to take Vyvanse. No, I'm joking. Don't take medication that's not being prescribed to you. No, my first piece of advice would be to just go cold turkey and stop drinking for like a week. Just don't drink for a week, which should be easy if you don't have an addiction and you just keep increasing it. You say, okay, it's been a week. I'm going to go to 2 weeks, 3 weeks, then a month, 2 months, and so on. And you just keep increasing it until you're like, oh, I'm forgetting that I'm not drinking. I'm not counting. Oh, it's been a week. It's been 2 weeks. I'm just not drinking anymore. Now, if you are someone that feels like they might be struggling with an addiction or a dependence, I'm not going to give you exact tips because, like I said, I'm not a doctor. But what I will say is that you do need to go and see a doctor, whether that's a GP, a psychologist, a counselor, a psychiatrist, or in this case, parents, taking your child to a pediatrician. It's really important that you seek professional help and your, you know, medical provider or, you know, whoever's looking after you will be able to assist you. But it's really important that if you feel as though you can't stop or you feel like alcohol is negatively affecting you, especially if you're taking ADHD medication, it is so important to speak to a medical professional who will be able to assist you. Now, parents, I also want to angle this towards you because I feel like alcohol and talking about the dangers of alcohol is a really parental thing. Parents are really worried about their children drinking and doing drugs and having sex and all of that. And I am not into fear-mongering or anything like that, or the whole war on drugs, kick your kid out if they drink and all of that. I'm not into that. And obviously every single parent has their different parenting styles and different values and outlooks on alcohol and the way that they are going to manage their children who drink. I'm not a parent. I'm just a child. But I think it's really important for parents to know about these risks with their children if they're ADHD, and to keep a really close eye on their children, especially if your child's taking ADHD medication and they're getting to an age where they're getting invited to parties and they're drinking. It's so important that you speak to, you know, your child's doctor about this. You know, if they are medicated, how alcohol is going to impact them. I think it's really important to know about that and to communicate that with your child. It's so important to have an open dialogue with your children about alcohol and about the impacts of it. If you treat it as something, if you don't talk about it, that's its own issue. But if you treat it as something that, you know, if they do it, they'll get grounded, they'll get into trouble, they'll get kicked out, and you demonize alcohol, your child may never feel like they can come to you. If they're in a situation where they don't feel safe because of alcohol, or feel like they can come to you because they might be struggling with alcohol, or if they have questions, it's easier said than done. Like I said, I'm not a parent or a parenting expert, and every parent's going to raise their kid as they see fit, and it depends on context. But I think as a main thing, I saw this a lot with a lot of the ADHDers that I knew who were engaging in risk-taking behavior. When I would say to them, why didn't you just ring your parents, or why don't you tell your parents you've lost your meds or that you're feeling this way? And they would say to me, they don't know that I drink. And I would say, so what? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you were unsafe. They'll care more about that. And they would say, if they find out that I was drinking, they're going to ground me or kick me out, or they're going to yell at me. I'm too scared to talk to them. Because children, you know, especially adolescents, feel like if they tell you about something like this, that they're going to have their freedoms taken away. And it's natural for teenagers to lie. Like, this idea that if a teenager lies, it's a really bad thing, and that da 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 da. It's natural for teenagers to lie, and they're going to lie to you. But to sort of combat that secrecy and the feeling like they can't come talk to you is by having an open conversation, talking to your children about alcohol, making them feel as though they can come to you with questions, and letting them know that, hey, they might come home really drunk and you might be annoyed with them in that moment, but you would rather them come home, say to you, hey, I'm really drunk, I don't feel well, than not tell you at all. Or, you know, if they get in a sticky situation and they, you know, are in a predicament they can't drive and they don't want to get in the car with someone, you would rather them ring you at 3 o'clock in the morning and wake you up and say, hey, I'm really drunk and I don't know how to get home, can you help me? You might be angry in the moment, but you would have rather them come to you and do that, and you can have a conversation about it. I think that's so important, because I see a lot of this risk-taking behavior in ADHD teenagers, because again, not only are you vulnerable because you're ADHD, but teenagers are also vulnerable. It's the time for teenagers to do things, to be impulsive, to drink, to do drugs, have sex. I'm not saying that all teenagers are like this, but it is a thing. So I'm going to keep saying it. It is just vital that you talked to your children. A lot of people think like that's a really strange thing to say, but you should talk to your children. Find out what's happening in their lives, if they are on medication or not. And they say, I'm going to a party. Ask them, talk to them about it. And don't say, no, you're not going to that party because there's going to be alcohol. That's, you know, the devil's drink. Be normal. Talk to them like you would have wanted to be spoken to when you were a teenager and you had questions and concerns about drinking. I think that's a key thing. And just, again, I have to reiterate, if you feel like ADHD is messing with your meds, it's messing with you, and you're wanting to stop and you are struggling and you don't feel like you can just quit or it's just not working, please, please speak to a medical professional. They are equipped to help you. They might refer you, but it's so important that you speak to them. And especially if you're on medication, it is vital that you get that help. And with that, I am going to leave you. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. It was a lot. If you have questions, concerns, or thoughts, and you'd like to share your own experiences with alcohol and drinking, please share. I actually recently did a poll on my Instagram to see how many of my listeners and followers drank alcohol, and the findings were quite interesting. And I found that a lot of my followers, while they don't drink a lot, when they have a period without drinking, like in a single day, they find it a lot harder to reduce. So they might only drink once a week, but that one time a week, they find it really hard to not overdo it, which is part of the whole impulsiveness and risk-taking element, which we discussed. But again, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Do not forget to follow me on Instagram and on Facebook at The Lucy Pod. Also, don't forget to like, stream, and follow me on all your favorite streaming platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the whole thing. And just stay tuned, and I will speak to you, see you, hear from you, deal with you in the next episode. Bye.